This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Hold me steady, Lord. Let not winds or storms erode my roots. Let me be strong like an oak tree, tall and grace-filled, budding with expectant shoots, bending gently through each season, waiting patiently for change, upright, righteous, full of life, giving shade and shelter with each bough, pushing roots so deep with growth, quenching thirst from eternal streams. Hold me steady, Lord, strong and healthy. Let my mind be close to you. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was familiar with a musical by the name of The Fantastics, but when I began courting my now wife, Dee, I rediscovered it and got into it more, having found out from her that she had starred in a professional production of it in her professional acting days. There are many great songs in that musical, if you're not familiar with it, but there is one where there is this young man and this young woman who are courting, and the parents are having some difficulty dealing with this. And those two fathers get together, and they sing a song about the unknown nature of raising children, and it's called Plant a Radish. And with apologies to Dee and to anyone else, here's a few verses of it. Plant a radish, get a radish, never any doubt. That's why I love vegetables, you know what they're about. Plant a turnip, get a turnip, maybe you'll get two. That's why I love vegetables, you know that they'll come through. They're dependable, they're befriendable, they're the best pal a parent's ever known. But with children, it's bewildering. You don't know until the seed is nearly grown just what you've sown. Wouldn't it be nice if we who are parents, either literally biologically or spiritually, were able to do it that way, like planting turnips or radishes or anything else, to know that which is going to emerge eventually. But there are things that are out of our control. So perhaps what we really would like to have for children is a version of this: weed and feed. Wouldn't it be nice if we could pour on top of those into whom we have been entrusted with taking care of their raising something like this that would nourish them with everything good, but then would also get rid of everything that is bad? And you're probably wondering, where can I buy this, Father Marty? I've got my credit card out already. Well, as we know, unfortunately, it doesn't exist. There even are reasons why some people tell us that we shouldn't even use this on our lawns, this weed and feed. They come up with a bunch of different reasons, and I just want to sort of highlight some of them. We can use the wrong amount. We end up saying bad things to our kids so much that they end up feeling bad about themselves. Bad timing. We never know when it's right and when it's wrong time to say something, do we? You don't water it in, so we inundate the same thing with the wrong amount. And none of these products that are on the market will take care of all the weeds that are out there. And it won't prevent weeds from coming in the future after you use the product. We don't know how safe the product is, so in the process of weeding and feeding, we can end up killing that which is growing. We can give them too much nitrogen, too much good stuff, and we overparent. Lots of things that can happen that can go wrong. So, there are times when we are called to just be patient. Isn't it interesting with this that when God is doing the weeding and feeding, I mean, God knows the right granules to use. God is the only one who knows that which is going to help and that which is going to hurt. But we need to look at this parable perhaps a bit in connection to last week's. We heard a parable about seeds and growing last week, didn't we? And we heard about some seeds that also fell among the weeds and choked out and died. But remember, the overall purpose of that parable was about the extravagance of God in sowing seed. That God just continues to sow and to sow and to sow. Well, perhaps this week, it's about the extravagance of God's waiting. That God continues to wait on us. And God continues to call on us to wait as well. There are a lot of things we cannot control. But look at the benefits that happen in God's waiting. We heard from Paul today. We talk about the benefit of God waiting. Look at Paul's life. And look how much Paul did as a result of God waiting. And as the weeds grew up with his wheat, finally it got to a point where God was able to root out the weeds and let the true wheat emerge in his life. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why Paul can write in Romans as he does today. The sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing. Look at that first reading about Jacob. We hear the story of Jacob's ladder. Really, the conversion experience that happens in Jacob's life. There was a lot of weeds in his life, wasn't there? We heard about it last week. And yet, look what happens along the way with waiting. So it's hard. And in this time of quarantine and pandemic, we're tired of waiting. But perhaps there's something there that God wants us to learn. Sometimes we are just not skillful enough to separate the good from the bad. And remember, even as the parable talks, that the weeds and the wheat can be mixed together, and if you destroy one, you can accidentally destroy the other. I ran into a comedian / preacher who comments on this when we're talking about removing weeds and writes this: when weeding, the best way to make sure you're removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. And if it comes out of the ground easily, then it's a valuable plant. In a similar way, to distinguish flowers from weeds, simply pull up everything. And what grows back is weeds. It can be difficult for us. It can be hard. But there are some other things that this parable can teach us also. We know that when these weeds and the wheat grow to full maturity, especially in this example, it is easy to distinguish one from the other. And as the parable says, the reapers will know and be able to get rid of the weeds first. But those weeds will be used. And in the hymn that we sang as I sequence hymn today, it talks about those weeds as tares, as is in the King James version of this story. That particular kind of weed was common in Palestine, and it had many distinctive qualities, one being that in its early stages, it looks exactly like wheat. It is only when both get to maturity that you can tell the difference. But even those weeds can be useful in the end. They can be used as kindling. And ironically enough, when you harvest that wheat and that grain and bake bread, it becomes the weeds that provides the fire, the fuel, for that wheat to become bread. And all it took was a little bit of patience, a little bit of waiting. There is another reason why I think this parable teaches us something special. There is a little parable that is told that I think you have heard before, but I want to share it because it brings out this third point very strongly. It's called Two Wolves. An old Cherokee Indian once told his grandson about a fight that was going on inside of him. He said it was between two wolves. One was evil. Anger, envy, greed, arrogance, self-pity, gossip, resentment, false pride. The other wolf was good. Joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. The grandson thought about it for a moment and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf do you think will win?" And the wise Cherokee replied, "The one you choose to feed." The one we choose to feed. Which one will we choose to feed? Barbara Brown Taylor, a wonderful preacher and Episcopal priest, when she talks about this parable, says that sometimes the weeds wake the wheat up and remind them who they are. And she goes on with something that's very important for us in our day. She writes, "How shall the wheat survive? By spending all their time attacking the weeds, or by devoting the same amount of time to being wheat? The wheat run the risk of turning into weeds themselves. It's one of the trickiest things weeds do to get the wheat so riled up and defensive that they start acting like weeds themselves, full of prickles, full of poison, good guys who turn into bad guys, trying to put the bad guys out of business. It's like that old Chinese proverb, when you're out to kill a dragon, don't become one." Barbara Brown Taylor goes on and says this, "God allows a mixed field. In other words, and whether we like it or approve of it, understand it or not, God asks us to tolerate a mixed field, both in the church and in the world. This is not even remotely a call to passivity. It is a call to strenuous activity, as any of you who have tried to love your enemies lately already know. It's not easy being wheat, especially with so many weeds competing for the soil. But what God seems to know is that the best and only real solution to evil is to bear good fruit. Our job in a mixed field is not to give ourselves to the enemy by devoting all our energy to the destruction of the weeds, but to mind our own business, so to speak. Our business being the reconciliation of the world to God through the practice of unshielded love. If we give ourselves to that, God will take care of the rest, the harvest, the reapers, the fire, all of it. Our job is to be wheat, even in a messy field, to go on bearing witness to the one who planted us among those who seem to have been planted by someone else. We have in our day such an example of one who left us by the name of John Lewis. The son of sharecroppers, became a leader and remained a leader to his death in the field of social justice and civil rights. There have been wonderful quotes of him in his day, both young and old, but remaining wheat throughout, that you must be bold, brave, and courageous and find a way to get in the way, but in a good way, to get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble. And you talk about a willingness to wait. Before we went on any protest, whether it was sit-ins or the freedom rides or any march, we prepared ourselves and we were disciplined. We were committed to the way of peace, the way of non-violence, the way of love, the way of life as the way of living. Our lives, waiting, watching, and witnessing. We are called at different times to do all of the above. So perhaps the appropriate way for us to end is in that classic prayer that talks about knowing when to do what. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if we surrender to his will, so that we may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. May we be the wheat. Amen.
Amen.